Chapter 31. "We need to talk to Kevin Feeney," Molly said. "And Bo Marino, if we can locate him." She and Jesse and Sonny were having breakfast the next morning at Daisy's. Molly and Sonny had both ordered oatmeal, in the afterglow of just having been to the gym. Jesse ordered eggs over easy, corned beef hash, and English muffins. A short stack of pancakes. If he died, he died. "We have nothing to tie them to any of this," Jesse said. "But they might carry the same old grudge," Molly said. "Right?"
"Right," Jesse said.
"We know where Feeney is," Molly said. "Finding Bo might take some doing."
"Not for Thelma and Louise," Sonny said.
"Didn't they die in the end?" Jesse said.
"I was thinking more along the lines of Buddy Movie," Sonny said.
"Which one are you?" Jesse said.
"Thelma," Sonny said. She shrugged. "Taller."
Molly said, "Louise was bigger up front."
"You can say that again," Jesse said.
Kevin Feeney was a balder, heavier version of the 17-year-old Molly remembered. Even though he knew they were coming, he seemed as happy to see them, Molly especially, as he would have a process server. They sat with him now in the reception area of KF Audiovisual Services. The door to what they assumed was his office was closed. Molly asked what he did at KF Audiovisual. He asked if they'd ever heard of TaskRabbit guys. Sonny said she had, that they were the guys you called to install things and fix them and assemble them. Kevin Feeney said he was like that, just with home entertainment systems.
"I have an installation scheduled on Stiles Island," he said. "I can't be late."
"We'll try not to keep you," Molly said. She noticed a picture of an attractive, dark-haired woman on the wall behind him.
"Are you with the Paradise Police?" Feeney said to Sonny.
"Think of me as her bodyguard."
"I heard somewhere they made you deputy chief," Feeney said to Molly. "Wasn't aware that the position came with a bodyguard."
"Gets lonely at the top," Molly said.
"Why are you even here?" Feeney said.
"What happened with me happened a long time ago. I'm a different person now. I moved back because I didn't want to feel as if I were running anymore, even though my parents passed a few years ago."
Molly knew it had been a car accident on the Mass Pike near Worcester. She remembered reading about it at the time.
"I'm sorry," she said.
"At least I couldn't humiliate them anymore," he said. Molly let that go.
"I haven't seen you around town," Molly said.
"I keep to myself," he said, "and hope that my customers don't remember my name."
Molly said, "Did you know Troy Drake was back in Paradise as well?"
Feeney said, "I haven't heard from him since he quit school, but it's not as if I ever had the urge to stay in touch."
"Would you be able to answer some questions about your whereabouts over the past week?" Molly said.
"Why?" he said.
"There have been some incidents involving me and other members of our department," Molly said.
"Incidents," Feeney said.
"Someone seems to be targeting us."
"Well, it isn't me," Feeney said. He shrugged. "I'm a one-man shop, like I said. All I target is good word of mouth."
Molly gave him the nights in question anyway.
"I was home," he said.
"With your wife?" Molly said.
"Alone," he said. "She's visiting her family in Vermont. It's where I was living before I came back."
"Does she know what happened in high school?" Sonny said.
Feeney looked at her as if he'd forgotten she was there.
"She knows because I told her, because I knew she'd find out eventually," Feeney said. "She didn't judge me the way everybody else did, or think I should have gotten some kind of death sentence for being a stupid kid."
"We were all stupid kids," Molly said, "but hardly any of them ever do what you guys did."
"Troy made no secret that he used to think about getting even with the Paradise cops," Sonny said.
"Did you have similar urges?"
Feeney leaned forward, his hands clenched tightly on the desk in front of him, his knuckles almost the color of his white shirt.
"I took responsibility," Feeney said. "I went away for a long time. Now I'm back."
There was nothing that should have brought me back. Here I am anyway.
What do you know about Bo's life since high school? Molly said.
Don't know, he said, and don't care.
He looked at his watch. Are we done?
For now, Molly said.
He stood. There was something sad about him, the kid who'd gone along with the others. But he'd stopped running. She had to give him that.
Anything you'd like us to say to Bo if we talk to him? Molly said.
I never had anything to say to him, Feeney said. I was just too dumb to know at the time.
When they were outside, Sonny said, Where to next?
Molly grinned.
We need to make a stop at the office of the second biggest asshole in Paradise, Massachusetts, she said.
Only second?
I'm just assuming there has to be a bigger one somewhere, Molly said.